Greetings from Earth. Anyway, I think that's where I still am. Let me check. Yeah, still got this body, a couple of hands, a couple of feet. Let's see, I'm looking around. Yep, I'm still here. So greetings from Earth, everyone, and welcome to the Creative Cosmos Radio Show. And as always, I'm your old friend, Christopher Morse, taking you through the afternoon on a ride through outer space and inner space, because they aren't as different as you might have first believed. And as always, if you'd like to follow along with the show, cruise over to the website, creativecosmos.org, creativecosmos.org. Put up a new article in the last couple days. New artwork, some new stories, some interesting things, so check it out. And as I've been notifying everyone, we're now on a little different format with Creative Cosmos. Monday is more of the discourse day, where I cover different materials, almost like a course in metaphysics. And on Wednesday, I open the door for you to call me and we can discuss whatever is going on in your life. And Friday is my guest day. And today I have a guest on the show who's been one of the longest standing friends of the Creative Cosmos. Feel that we resonate on the same vibrations. We do the same kind of work. Of course, I'm talking about Henrik Palmgren of Red Ice Radio. And his website is, of course, world famous and growing, red-ice.net. Once again, red-ice.net. And I'd also like to go into some of Henrik's creations today, talk a little bit about some of his music and some of his artwork, and get a little more into who this person is who's bringing us such fantastic information on such a regular basis. We welcome to the show, good friend, Henrik Palmgren. You with us?
Yeah, I'm right here, Chris.
All right.
Thank you very much. How are you doing?
Great. Great to have you back on the air. Is it my show or your show today?
No, I don't know anymore. today it's our show, I guess.
So. Yeah. Whenever we're on now, I think that's kind of how it goes. We got a nice synergy going.
I'm always honored to be on your great show. So thank you very much for having me.
Thank you. And for our listeners tuning in, you're in Sweden, right?
That's correct.
The west coast,
close to a town called Gothenburg. It's about the second largest city in Sweden, and I'm in this little town. We're about 20,000 people or something.
Ah.
It's called Kungälv, and that basically translates to the King's River, I guess. King's River.
Oh, interesting.
We're right here at the peak. I mean, we have the history of our town is pretty interesting, actually, because this is a place where the three kings of Denmark, Norway, and Sweden once met and held, a little summit to basically sign a few treaties, I guess. So it's sometimes referred to as the Three Kings Town. So
what era was that?
What was that?
What era and time was that?
I think this is about, I don't know. I don't want to. I'm going to embarrass myself because I'm bad with the dates.
1700s or something like that, maybe?
I think it's, 1300s. I mean, this town is about 1,000 years old or something. So,
wow.
We got history right here. So.
Well, that's cool.
We sometimes become blind to the history that one has got to, close to home.
That's true.
In the kind of, material that I like to research and read about, you often, drift away and go into far places on the other side of the world, but sometimes you forget that, you get pretty nice history right where you're at.
Yeah, sometimes you have to take that whole journey to realize that as well.
Exactly. I mean, there's a bunch of fascinating stuff here. We got the we got the runes, and we got the strongholds, the fortresses, and you know much of this stuff. So it's an ancient town. So I'm very comfortable here actually. So I mean I enjoy it. So I'm fortunate.
Sounds good. Sounds good.
Yeah.
And you started working on building your studio up a little bit more as well.
Yeah, that's correct. I mean, I've been, I've been working on it since, you know, basically after the Christmas or this New Year's here. So, I mean, we've been here like for 7 months. It doesn't feel like it because in the beginning we had a lot of, you know, we were constructing a lot of stuff. So we weren't able to move in all our stuff and things, but we have basically set up, shop here and been here for like 4 months now or something. So it's working out real good. You know, we haven't got around to, unfortunately, begin recording any music yet because I've been just so, I don't know where the time goes, but I've been incredibly busy with both the site and, of course, the radio show and all these things, and it just keeps, it seems like work keeps popping in. So,
yeah, I know. We've all of us with our websites here and our means of expression, we've created a bunch of monsters.
I don't know what I have done.
I mean, it's amazing how it takes on a life of its own, and then once you really get talking to people and following where everything leads, it just keeps expanding.
It does, and I'm just amazed, you know, of you know all the you know the positive response from all the people out there. I mean, so kind to drop a few mails now and then, and you know, say that they, you know, appreciate the work and like the radio show, and you know, it's just great because, you know, as we have been talking earlier here a few weeks ago, you and I, of course, and as I said to you then, you know, it is basically this site, the Red Ice website, it is basically from the start, it was like an ego trip almost.
Yeah.
You know, I was trying to make sense of many of the things that were going on in my life, and I would try to understand all the kind of information, and I just, you know, stumbled upon so many other websites, you know, with bunch of material and stuff, and I just kept researching and reading stuff, and then I, you know, almost got to the point where I said to myself, you know, I got to collect some of these stuff that I you know come across. And that is basically what I've done from the start with the site, since this format, I should say, because, you know, as the first show that we did, we talked a little bit about the conception of Red Ice, and
yeah.
It started like, you know, like an art project, basically. You know, I always like to do graphic stuff and things like that, and I started together with a friend, but, you know, that it went basically a year or 2 years, and then I just kind of took off in this direction, and now we end up where we were at. So
yeah,
it's been an incredible journey, actually.
Yeah, it's amazing. Probably through those initial expressions, it started. I don't know. It's kind of, I felt like that similarly with Creative Cosmos. When I started out, I was trying to work some things out and figure out how it all went, and I was becoming exposed to all this new information, and next thing you know, working it out, I began to find my voice amidst it all and find my role in the expression, because in the first place, you know, I think we were drawn to that material because we resonated with it, and you know, even in the time we've known each other, both of our sites have grown and our concepts have grown, and we've seen, you know, more and more how it fits in to the bigger picture and how other people are participating in that work. And it's like surfing a great wave of creation.
Yeah, it is, and it's for me definitely been like a, you know, a pretty straightforward process, really, that I've noticed that, you know, I go through these different kinds of phases almost, where I, you know, dive into certain areas of research. I don't know if it comes through in the kind of articles that I publish on the site, but, you know, I always try to, you know, dive into a few areas sometimes, and I notice that the site kind of, you know, leans towards a specific concept or an idea or a research area for a few weeks sometimes, and then, you know, then I move on and dive into new stuff. So, and it's been a kind of a personal experience just to, you know, let myself wade through all of this information and see where, you know, where I end up. And of course I don't express my gratitude enough, I think, towards, you know, people like you and towards Don and Doug over at BBS Radio for, you know, allowing me the wonderful opportunity to do my radio show, because, you know, I've learned so much, and I'm so glad, you know, to be able to speak to all the people that I'm, you know, that have been kind of, you know, my research heroes, for lack of a better term. So
yeah, you've had some great guests on lately.
Yeah, it's been great.
You know, from David Icke to Michael Basarian, and some of the others. I don't know. You could go. I see people linking to your show too across the web. I keep bumping into it, and it seems like word's getting out that you got a pretty hot show going on there.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. it's great. You know, because as I said, there are so many good, you know, good people out there who do their research into these fascinating subjects. And I think the important stuff, you know, I try to just, you know, give these people, you know, space to basically elaborate further on their ideas, and hopefully, you know, I can contribute something to it, because, you know, there are a lot of internet radio shows out there, you know, and many of these guests, you know, kind of, you know, cycle around these shows, and there's nothing wrong with it, because this is like a collective process, I guess, and all of our programs that we do here are kind of, you know, we're working towards a common goal, even if we are aware where it is or not. But I mean, there is a kind of a community here, and we are basically, I guess, trying to, you know, understand what the heck is going on, and of course learn from it, and then, you know, like the kind of show that you do, because I think you do so excellent, because you take it a step further, and you dive into the, you know, the process of the soul and the metaphysical aspect so much more at the moment, I guess, than I do, and I think that the combination of these two things, you know, on one hand understand, you know, basically that there is I guess, for the lack of a better term, a world conspiracy or a new world order and all this stuff, you know.
Uh-huh.
And then, you know, after we have come to that awareness, we need to, you know, apply a more metaphysical understanding of those concepts. I mean, why are we, the humans, always, you know, guided through this process, you know, where we have all these kinds of events taking us through this, I don't know, it's a process, basically, I guess, and we need to, you know, highlight the more metaphysical stuff behind all these things that are happening. And I think that if we can understand these things, maybe we aren't so emotionally attached to it, and I mean, for a time, I basically felt, you know, that I was, a bit almost depressed by all the negative stuff out there. You know, there's a lot of awful things going on behind the world conspiracy. And,
mm-hmm.
But the important thing at the end of the day is to, you know, remember who you are, what you are a part of, and where we're going collectively. And you realize that this isn't, you know, this isn't this difficult, hard, you know, evil process, because it's, you know, it's one and the same source, and I keep coming back to that every time, and that's why, you know, I appreciate your, as I said before, your writing so much, because it moves, you know, you have the understanding of these concepts, but then you move beyond it and just, you know, hit the core at where we're at, so it's excellent.
Oh, thank you, and your expression right there laid it out really well, you know, that we need to see these forces at work, but then when we see them, we see how they work upon us, and we can look at that and use that as a means to transcend that and free our own energies and empower ourselves, and then rather than spending all our time saying, hey, you know, that's that's awful, that's awful, that's awful, and feeling
exactly.
like we lose our strength. Instead, we create that, you know, that better world ourselves, or we bring to the earth. You know, I kind of came to this phrase myself once, but then I realized Gandhi had said it before, that you create what you, something along the lines of you create what you think is missing from the world, or you live that, what you
yeah.
think is missing from the world. And that occurred to me once, and then I was like, yeah, that's a really good saying, or, you know,
yeah.
an aphorism of truth, that, you know, we can't spend all our time focusing on that stuff. It's stuff to be aware of. And you can
yeah,
see clearly.
I think that the process basically is about, you know, awareness and waking up. I mean, the latest article that you wrote was about, you know, as I perceived it, about, you know, the basically the new human, the next level, you know, Homo novus, or
yeah, one way to put it anyway.
Yeah, exactly, Homo novus. And I think that that is the case. And then also applied on top of that, I think it is the case, and the fact that there is a force, you know, out there, or whatever it is, that is aware that this time in history, there is the opportunity to, you know, do something new, take the human species into a new direction. And I think there are so many, as I said, forces, basically, for lack of a better term, that are have interest, you know, to ride this wave and to take hold of this opportunity and steer the human race, or this species, towards the way that, you know, that would benefit them the most. And I think that the important stuff right here is to, you know, be aware of all the things that are happening right now on our world, and on all the different levels that are ongoing. But the most important stuff is waking up to the fact that you yourself is the one who have the true power of where you want to go. And I mean, even the latest scientific work, you know, again and again confirms this kind of stuff, you know, with the quantum mechanism and quantum physics and all this stuff, you know, confirms
yeah.
that, you know, that it is our intent, and it is where we lay our focus that basically become our reality and affects everything around us. So it's so incredibly important right now, I think, to, you know, be aware, but at the same time focus on the really important stuff, where you want to go and what you want to, you know, do with your life, basically. So
yeah, that's really
yeah.
the great message of our time, I think, you know, how, like you say, both science and spirituality, either way you look at it, they're supporting that same idea, and they truly meet. I mean, it's the same thing that they're conferring, and it's a joy. You can sense joy in the scientific community and in the spirituality, you know, that it is coming together, and that we have found that unity, and now we have something really precious here that we really can run with and really can empower people and wake people up and get them over some of these old ideas, so that they can free themselves to opening to just their potential, to their, I mean, many people haven't even begun yet. They can't even imagine what it's like once you crack that shell and spread your wings. And it's such a glorious thing to do, and that you see that concept coming up all around in the backdrop through society. Even while some of the darkness is moving forward, there is also great light and great power and great holiness rising across the land as well.
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, I think it's Michael Therion who's, you know, to quote him, I guess, you know, he said that, you know, the last century was the time of, you know, problem think, and this century is the time for solution think, and that is basically it, I guess, that we have to understand that all, yeah, our true potential, because, I mean, I sometimes have difficult to, and this is something I have to be, you know, better at, but, you know, we have to be able to look back towards maybe those people who, I think there are, I mean, I want to draw lines between people here, because everyone has the potential to, you know, do do all these things that everybody else is doing, and we can, you know, reach to the heights that we want to. But you know, obviously we have a generation, I guess, that is kind of the like the pioneers into these new metaphysical topics. And of course we have people throughout the history that have been here, but in these subjects. But you know, I think that we are becoming far more now than
oh yeah, I agree completely. I mean, I look at it kind of almost, I've drawn comparisons to how, you know, psychology started with Sigmund Freud, really, and how he first started writing it, all these things down and doing experiments, and other people caught on and they entered into the whole, you know, sorting out what's going on in the first entry into the inner world. And now we're kind of taking that to a whole nother level by incorporating all the information. I mean, that's part of it too, is now everything people have ever found out, we can find out at once now. And so it's like this huge influx of all the information from all the times, all this, everything that used to be secret or hidden, or, you know, it's like everything is out there now. And so then we just, it's as fast as we can assimilate it and then be free of it, incorporating it into our own living vision moment to moment.
Exactly, exactly. We have to rise above all the trap doors also that are laid out there, because it's so easy, I guess, to, you know, get caught into a few of these subjects, because, you know, I think that the potential here is that we can, you know, go basically basically to infinity and beyond. You know, I have no idea how far we can go, but there seems to be a convergence of so many different things now. I mean, the spiritual aspects, the metaphysical aspects, and then on top of that, as I said, we have the science, and I mean, even technology in some sense can be a fantastic, you know, liberator, for lack of a better term. I mean, if we are able to, you know, get a hold of things like free energy and stuff like that, I mean, the potential and the doors that are opening up to an endless world of possibilities, I guess. I mean, free energy, you know, and material like, you know, nano-type materials that are, you know, that can recombine themselves, and basically materials that can, how should I say, heal themselves or fix themselves, you know, like whatever, you know, like just the paint on a house that basically can, you know, resist the forces of wind and rain and all these kinds of stuff. I mean, it's just the details here. I mean, I'm just going to a few of the details, but I guess that the potential of all of these things are amazing if you really, you know, think about it, what is happening here.
Yeah, I know. It's almost like it's just so out there and miraculous that your mind almost has a hard time, even like an average mind, just going about your local day-to-day events, you know, and you hear about those things. It's almost like it doesn't even register, because you don't even have a place to put it. It's so marvelous, or, you know, it's almost beyond, it's almost like what science fiction used to be. We've now, like, gone way past that.
and this is also why it is important to, you know, be aware of some of the, you know, good forces out there, because, I mean, there is an interest to, of course, keep this kind of technology, you know, away from being implemented into human society, basically. And I mean, I think it was, I mean, J.P. Morgan, I guess, you know, that said back in the days of Tesla, when he was wanted to be Nikola Tesla, electrician from Hungary, he wanted to build these, you know, gigantic towers, basically, that could provide the world with free energy, basically, that was, you know, going through the air, so it was without any cords, you know, it was like remotes, you know, and but you know, I think it was J.P. Morgan who said, you know, we can't put a meter on this, we can't, you know, charge people for this. So I mean, right there, I mean, we have this kind of technology, if this is to believe, about, you know, what is it, 80 years ago, more, 90 years ago. But we still haven't got it. We still haven't, you know, it hasn't been implemented into our society. And that's why it is important to be aware that, you know, there are this kind of forces out there who want to keep this away from us, and we gotta do everything we can to spread the awareness about these kinds of things. So we can basically benefit so that the human race can rise to its full potential. I guess.
Let the truth be known.
Exactly.
Which takes, as you're saying that, I'm seeing people who are listening to this. You know, it's like, if you just even bring this up in social conversations, you know, when you're going out to a party, talk about real things, you know, don't just BS about, you know, foolishness, you know, bring some of these things up. Say, hey, did you know that this was possible? Or, hey, did you know that this happened? And, hey, did you know that this and that? You know, just all these things we talk about and air out and want to, because it's when you bring it up and you are expressing it and you're carrying it around, and the idea that the vision gains momentum and reality in the real world. You know, we have to continue to encourage reality to move in that direction of where we're freeing things up and not taking advantage of people, and, you know, where we apply this wondrous technology to, giving people the time to explore their inner worlds and find out what they're truly meant to do. And then they're not working out of obligation, they're working out of joy, and then the earth becomes a place of love.
Exactly. I mean, that's the key right there, as you said, I think, you know, to bring these kinds of things into reality, because it is always like, you know, these kinds of subjects are, you know, somehow tucked away in the back room, and if you just, you know, if you just find that the appropriate persons, I guess, come along, then you can, you know, take them out of the closet and, you know, quietly talk about them. But I mean, this is not a secret, and it's not, you know, it's not strange, it's not bizarre. And I got a mail the other day from a gentleman up here in Sweden who, you know, kind of listened to the interview I did with David Icke, and he basically asked me, you know, what can we do? He wanted to, you know, kind of join some kind of group or get active, and, you know, all this stuff. And you know, as always, you know, it's always difficult to provide an answer for these kinds of questions. But I don't know if I got through to him, but I basically tried to lay out this idea that you basically presented here, that the important stuff is to, of course, first of all, read more and, you know, be aware of all the amazing stuff out there, because, you know, I mean, this is exciting stuff, and it's magical. It's fascinating. And then, you know, be daring enough to, you know, speak about these things at, you know, at your workplace, and you know, whenever you get the chance to meet people. I mean, you don't have to go up to someone and just start speaking about it, but, you know, you know, to implement it in the everyday to day communication, because he basically, I guess he was after, you know, we always, I guess, through human history have created small, you know, groups that are sitting around their own round table and patting each other on the back and basically agreeing with each other. But they never, you know, implement it in reality or the real life, because they just sit around this table and, you know, and agree basically. And what we have to do is we have to get out and, you know, we don't have to go into some kind of small group. We have to go out in the big world and basically talk. And it almost like, I guess it is like a mission, and it's a bit silly to see it like that, but, you know, we gotta.
Well, you know, that guy that you just talked about reaching out to, he probably felt that call. He's like, I gotta do something, and he didn't even, just anywhere, you know, let's start somewhere, you know, reach out to someone who looks like they're doing something, you know, and, you know, really,
exactly.
You're modeling for him what to do. That's the point that you wonder.
I mean, just, you know, just to, first of all, you know, don't expect to just, go into a grouping of people who are like-minded, because that in itself can be, I mean, it's great we need the support and all that, but that in itself can be, you know, then the information gets, you know, secluded, and again we get into this kind of, I mean, I basically think that that's what many of these, when the Freemasonic organizations and secret societies started up at the beginning, was basically a few people who, you know, kind of understood these things, but instead of implementing the ideas and the philosophical concepts into the greater society, they basically started this, you know, secret group because we in here understand and the people out there don't, so it's nothing to do about it. But, you know, we have to we have to spread the information now, and as you say, it is the age of revealing, and all secrets shall be known, and through the forces like the internet, for example, this for the first time, I guess, in modern history at least, becomes a possibility. And now is the time to spread all these kinds of wonderful information and the knowledge and everything that's left, basically, for this to become a reality, is that people begin to, you know, live in the kind of way that they want to, instead of just seeking for, you know, some other, you know, a group or a force to, you know, to or if, you know, a few hours of their day every day they can, you know, go into their own home and just act like,
right, I mean, that's precisely how you do carry the message, is you live the truth of yourself every moment, you shine your light. It's not like you have to even reach out and say, hey, over there, you know. It's just being yourself and living unashamedly and letting it all just be out in the open, and then to have the ability to kind of stand by that and not allow all the weirdness of the outside to influence you or pull it back in, you know.
I mean, let's be serious, the I mean, everything out there is basically weird. And the only reason, I guess, that we are accustomed to it is because it is part of our culture. And basically, as the word implies even, you know, it is a culture. It is a cult. And we have to, you know, understand that the things that are accepted at the moment basically can both change very fast, but they could be, you know, dramatically different because of a different turn in history or something like that. But the only reason that we are accustomed to them and accept them is because we are, you know, born with them. but it's so difficult to.
Well, that's where going into meditation and getting that space of where you can see, kind of see the world or reality outside of yourself without, through the filter of just your limited perspective, where, you know, that's where studying history and studying as much as you can, you get outside of just your own point of view, and you just see how life has progressed in this, you know, a variety of forms, and you just see that you're an expression of that, and you're participating in that, and you connect into that, and you just, you know, you stop eliminating your perception of everything by running it through a million filters, you know?
Exactly. I mean, that's the key, to be able to see this kind of stuff outside of yourself. I mean, pay attention to, I mean, I've learned so incredibly much on this kind of, you know, idea. I just, you know, whenever I get, you know, mad or angry or react in a certain way, I try to always, you know, to step outside of myself and look at myself. I mean, why am I reacting the way I am? What's causing this? I mean, is this the kind of way I want to be, or is this just kind of a reactionary mode that takes over? Because
right.
In many cases, I guess, you know, people aren't conscious in that sense. They're just reactionary, basically, and just, you know, responds on a, you know, it's like a stimulus response. It's like a cellular action, basically, and people are, I think, too much into that kind of reactionary mode. And but if we can, you know, step outside of ourselves, become aware, and, you know, view ourselves from the outside, we can see our behavior, we can understand what we're doing, and in that same moment, I guess, that we also become not so involved, or I should say, we don't, you know, get so upset if we end up in a moment where we might consider it that we I guess, what could be termed, you know, that we have lost something or that we haven't, you know, gained everything we could from a situation or whatever, you know, we have to step outside of ourselves and just look at us and say, you know, that it isn't, I'm more than my, you know, my body, my physical body and all the reactions that are ongoing. I mean, it's so difficult, I can't explain what I mean.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's the threshold of our times. That is the homo novus, he or she who understands that's the way it is, that's the way it works, that those things are, you know, energy blockers, those, you know, just, and it's just stuff people didn't know about yet. Now that we know about it, let's, you know, tell everybody. You shouldn't be in the dark about something that provides such rewards and such, you know, benefit to your life. I mean, because it permeates everything. The more you find out about yourself and the more at peace you are, the more every single aspect of your life will reflect that.
Exactly. I mean, I had a conversation the other day with a friend who, you know, basically said that he don't know what he want to do basically with his life, you know, and kind of this very in-depth conversation, and you know, I guess it is difficult maybe here to convey what was said there, but you know, basically what I noticed every time is that he came up against, you know, his own blocks, so to speak. He came up at himself. I mean, he had all these kinds of ideas, but he always, you know, put himself down because he always perceived ahead of time what was going to happen in a certain situation, and he always said, you know, now is no idea to try that because whatever, this and this are going to happen, and I'm not going to, you know, get the job or get the opportunity or whatever. But I kept realizing that all he was, you know, fighting against was his own judgment of the future, basically. But he has no idea what's going to happen. He has no idea how the structure of reality really works if he set his mind to something and you know, try to basically achieve his goal. And then if he comes out the other end, you know, lost everything or something, I mean, so what? He has tried, and that is the important thing. I mean,
yeah.
If you don't try and you don't, you know, try to achieve your full potential, then you can never know, and you can never, you know, reach the goals that you want to.
Yeah, that's a good point. You know, I saw, as you're describing that, what you're talking about in a way is faith. You know, you remove that self-judgment, and you have faith that if you follow what's in your heart, things will work out as they need to be.
Yeah.
And it seems like a really simple thing to say, but it's such a dramatically different way of approaching life, you know. If you're looking at every single thing you do and judging it as success or failure, you're going to live one long and, well, you know, miserable life. I hate to say it, but you're going to tear yourself up, you know. It's an affliction, you know. It's something that, you know, people need to get, you know. That's why sometimes a little tough love even is nice, where, you know, you have a friend who loves you so much that he'll come up to you, stand his ground, and say, hey man, you don't have to do that anymore, you know, you don't have to get so down on yourself, you don't have to, you know, get down on everybody else, you know, it's all a work in progress, it's all about change and experimentation and about flowing and growing and seeing what happens around the corner.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there again we go, because it always, you know, what is a failure? I mean, I don't, if I sit down and think about it, I don't know what it is anymore, because there isn't such a thing.
Yeah.
We can never fail. I mean, because what we do is what we do, and if you come away from the situation and think that you have, you know, could have done better, then you obviously have gained something from the situation, because you have gained the perspective to realize that the next time you've got to do things differently, and then you really have gained something, and then you're ahead.
Yeah, or even eventually after living that way for some time, then you can even start coming into situations and shining such a light and having such a presence that the situation starts changing around you. You know, you can bring grace and compassion to people and circumstances and literally transform the energy and free blockages up and, you know, lift everybody up just by being yourself. And you have to be able to not get stopped by just a little bit of, you know, at first, if you're around people who have a number of blockages or are pretty uptight and you're just really just free or whatever, you know, they may look at you with annoyance or they may close up or act irritable or whatever, but you just got to understand so deeply. Like, you look at that irritation and you feel like, hey, I wish, you know, I want to help them, just mellow out, see the beauty of just relaxing and experiencing your life energies and appreciating a sunrise or a starry night.
I mean, I love this, you know, sometimes when I meet new people and basically, you know, let them speak their mind and let their, you know, ideology and philosophy, you know, let just run rampant, you know, and I just, you know, I encourage people to, you know, speak about themselves in the kind of way maybe that isn't allowed in some terms in mainstream in society in general, I guess, because it is this kind of competition always that you have to, you know, stay ahead and you have to, you know, kind of project your, I don't know what it is, your style or your certain kind of viewpoint instead of who you really are. You know, you have to project, express yourself through a style or through an idea or a ready compact philosophy, you know, that they've bought in a store basically somewhere. Mm. But I mean, to really let people, you know, just flow freely and encourage them to just speak their mind, and I've noticed myself that many times, you know, people can just from that little feel a very sense of freedom, I guess, you know, that they are even able to speak about whatever they want to with me. I mean, I've had people come up to me and said, you know, basically that, oh my God, I really love talking to you because I can always, you know, bring up whatever I want when you're around.
And yeah.
I'm shocked about the concept, but because, I mean, my question is, I mean, do you go around other people and are afraid to speak about the things you want to?
Yeah.
It's scary somehow. And I mean, I always try to project that image, you know, let go, relax, it's cool. We'll work out, you know.
Well, I think that's why we get along so well, is we realize that about each other, that, hey, man, it's cool.
Yeah.
Things are cool. We're living here on planet Earth, having a good time, sharing some information. You know, it's good to be friends.
Exactly. I mean, it isn't a contest, or it isn't a kind of, you know, I guess the universe isn't a construction that is, you know, manifested itself so that we can, you know, project our viewpoints on each other, and the one who stands wins the game. I mean, it's so much more. It's so much. If I feel sometimes, you know, that there is such a competitiveness, or what do you call it? You know, competition-driven society. And I mean, basically.
Which goes back into that, what we were talking about earlier, that judgment, like judging every little thing.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, those are really tied together, the competitive mentality. You know, also, of course, in some of the financial matters of society, or, you know, aggressive advertising, which is designed to, you know, compel people to desire things at very base instinctual levels, you know, inserting all sorts of, you know, harmful imagery that really messes people's innards up if they don't have the ability to protect themselves from it.
That's so awful. I mean, sometimes, you know, I bring up, you know, a few hints about these kinds of stuff, you know, that they are, you know, basically much of advertising today, you know, basically drives right through your conscious mind and go right to the core, you know, of your of your inner person and tries to basically, as you say, you know, manipulate, you know, into, you know, you want, so that you want something or buy something or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
But I mean, I guess that the people are so kind of hard in that sense that they are unable to comprehend that there are people maybe who have this kind of interest, you know, to are able to do these kinds of, you know, very evil things even. And so people automatically shut off and say, no, that's no possibility. Advertising, you see, to me, you know, relax, you know, it's okay, it's good. And I mean, in that sense, maybe I should relax, but I mean,
it's a part of the work that we're almost obligated to do, you know. It's not exactly always the most pleasant thing to talk about, but it's,
yeah,
you know, it's something that it's part of the story. It's part of freeing people up and, you know, returning their power to them is learning how other people have just this real intricate plan of taking their power away from them.
Yeah, exactly, because that is ultimately that is what it is about, you know, to empower people and to make them realize their fantastic potential. And if we all, you know, set our minds to what we want to do, I basically believe that we could, you know, we could live in a utopia, basically, you know, a society which is, you know, driven by people's dreams and creative desires instead of their desire for money or whatever, you know. And if I often come up against this, I get this question, you know, if everyone should, you know, live the kind of way that you do, then we basically would have a world, you know, in chaos, because everyone would just, you know, kind of, you know, don't do anything productive and don't do, you know, the hard work and all this stuff. And I mean, that has never been the concept, because people, myself included, love to do, you know, hard work. We love to, you know.
Right. It's just people don't want to be forced to do something against their will.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, I even think that there are people out there who willingly want to do, you know, I mean, just because we have, you know, the kind of liberty or freedom to do whatever we want doesn't mean that everybody wants to be a Hollywood celebrity. I mean, or
right,
a race car driver or whatever. I don't know. You mean, I mean, there are still people who want to do, you know, real productive stuff, good stuff that makes the world go around, basically.
Right. We just need to make the space for the next layer of adjustment.
Yeah.
Really, where, you know, it doesn't, where you don't think of things as an end, where if you get a job or something, that doesn't mean you always have to be in it. You don't get locked into where you're, you know, every bit of your essence depends on whether you can keep that job for the next week, which means you have to then sacrifice your soul to the angered boss or whatever like that. I mean, you have to, I mean, one part about being a healthy and happy society, which will itself clear many of the problems we see, is finding that what your dream is, creating the space inside free of influence that then opens up the possibility for you to see what your dream is and then to live it. And if you have to jump out of one situation or move, you know, so I like to say, you know, I don't think there'll be chaos. There'll just be an adjustment. And an adjustment is part of the ongoing changes. And that's a very normal thing in the universe.
Yeah, of course, and I mean, there are always times that are, you know, tumultuous in certain respects because of that you're moving from one paradigm to another. And I mean, even, you know, basically, there are always, you know, a period of time where things might not go as smooth as they always have done before, but as you say, it's an adjustment, and if we can get over that threshold and into the new way of, you know, thinking, a new way of, you know, even living our lives. I don't think that that there is going to be, you know, widespread chaos because of that. I mean, the other way around, basically, you know, because it is, as I said before, I see it that it is this world that is in chaos right now.
Right.
People are so, I mean, even if it is okay in some respects on the surface, and things seem to, you know, move ahead and go, you know, the trains move and the tram lines, you know, go and so forth. But on the inside, many people are falling apart basically because they have no, you know, real. They aren't, you know, pursuing their dreams, or they haven't, you know, got a goal in their life.
Right.
So I mean, they're falling apart on the inside, and this it is only a matter of time before these kinds of things get to, you know, manifest themselves into the real world. So
yeah, we have to value that inner world and just keep, like we've been, you know, we're gonna start wrapping things up here, but
yeah,
I mean, our
yeah.
time goes so fast. We could, I mean, I feel like you and I could just go on and on, and I'm hope that we do. We'll do many more shows in the future where
we have to do it.
Go on and on. It seems to just go really. I mean, we get good streams, interplay off of each other.
Absolutely.
Good topic.
Absolutely.
And I wanted to play a couple of your tunes today just to help, you know, get people to hearing your music and some of your creative work. I was going to do one at the bottom of the hour, but we had such a good flow. I made the executive decision to go with the music of our conversation for the moment.
Of course, yeah, it was great.
But I want to remind everyone that your site is red-ice.net and mine is creativecosmos.org. And we are going to play a tune right now to round off the show. This is one of yours, Henrik. It's called This Can't Be True.
Mm.
So we're going to round off the show with that. Thanks for coming aboard today.
Thank you very much. As always, it has been a pleasure. And, you know, I'm still struggling, as you hear, with my English. And it is... difficult, but you know, I'm getting there, I guess. So
I wouldn't even notice it. You sound great to me, buddy.
Thank you.
Yeah, all right, love you, man.
The same.
All right, take it easy.
Take care.
Yeah, bye-bye.
Bye.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.